Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message. It says, be ready in season and out of season to give a reason for the hope that you have. We saw this. We were writing on it for a little while, but we hadn't done it for a while. But we have the whiteboard, and this is to remind us of our mission this season, our vision. Thriving homes transform cities. It's one of the hardest sentences to say without adding transforms cities. They've already got the plural in the homes. The kids are almost out. If you could, please, please, please get out your Bibles because you will need them today. Get your cell phones out if that's where your Bible is. Get to Bible Hub or YouVersion or whatever version you got. We are going to be primarily in Daniel chapter 3. We will also be hitting Romans chapter 12. And if we have time, we might even get to Acts chapter 4 to keep that in mind. Ooh. I'm just embracing the quietness right now. And that it's like, yeah, some of us need that during the week. It's like, oh, it's quiet. Because like for me, I'm a WAN, so I'm always hearing engines from 8 a.m. until 4:30 or whatever time I get done. Engines constantly. I have earmuffs, but still, it's just the roar of those engines all day. And the worst is the weed eaters. If you've ever had to spend time with a weed eater, oh, especially with people who don't know how to use a weed eater, they are the worst. They go, and I'm like, please just seize up and die. The weed eater. The weed eater. And when I teach people how to use a weed eater properly for the first time, I'm like, it's best when you use the weed eater when there's more than just 1 inch of string coming out of the front end of it. You're talking like this much. Let's hear that baby purr. We don't want to hear. When you hear that for a couple hours, you're like, I'm done. So, yeah, silence. But what I don't want to be silent on, what I think I should talk about first to begin with today, is lifting up Jesus. I don't know, I just felt like this week, people were bringing down Jesus' name all over the place. And I wanted to take this time to uplift his name because he is glorious. He is amazing. He is awesome. He is beautiful. He is righteous. He is holy. He is love and he is good and he is just. He is above all things. Ooh. His name is greater than any other name. Wow. Jesus, I just want to take this moment to say how glorious you are, how awesome you are. And here at this church, we lift up your name. We hold you high because you are worthy to be praised. You are everything, God. You are worthy of it all. No matter what's happening in the world around us, Father God, here at this place, at Thrive, we lift you high. We lift you high because you are the most important thing in our lives. You are everything. You're not just part of our lives, Father God. You are the center of our life. Amen. And we lift you high up here. And God, we just thank you and let us never, ever be ashamed of your name. No matter where we are, whether we're here in this place and whether we're out doing whatever we do, may your name be glorified in our lives, whether we say your name or not. Let our actions be glorious to you. And when people spend time with us, let them ask us what's different about us so we can point them to you. because you are everything. Thank you, Jesus. Whew, that was cool. We get to lift up his name here in this house. We get to praise his name here in this house. There are places around the world where we can't do that, but here we get to. Amen. Amen. Woo. And now that I have your attention, Father God, thank you again for the message. Thank you again for what you're doing here today. Thank you again for anointing your word. Thank you, God, that you're changing people's hearts, minds, and souls and spirits, Father God, so they can be conformed to you, that they can praise you with their whole life. And I just thank you now, God, that you are using this message with your words to change people's lives. You are so awesome. You get all the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Whew. Thank you, Lord. Okay, so here we go. Today, continuing our theme, mind shift. Mind shift. And we're like, wait a minute, what are you talking about, mind shift? Yes, shifting your minds. This is where we're at. And our verse for this series is Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And hopefully a little later, we'll get into why this verse is so important for what I'm talking about today. And today's title for the message, this is cool. I got this the other day when I was reading my Bible. And what we're going to do today, my title is, Be It Known to You. I am being transformed by His Word and not by the world. The key verse for today is Daniel chapter 3, verse 18. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Amen. Let it be known to you. Today, I just want to talk about the importance of having your mind shifted and the relevance. It's like, yeah, so once your mind is shifted, then what? There are two main big reasons that I want to talk about that. There's a mind shift that transforms the home. Transforms you and transforms the home. But it doesn't stop at our homes. It interacts with the world. So our transformed, thriving homes will then transform our cities. Because our minds are shifted not only in our homes, but the way we encounter the world after our mind has been shifted is what will change the world. Amen. And as we get into this, you'll see it. Everyone whose mind is getting shifted by God can change their world by inviting others to have their mind shifted by God. Now, if you're there, I'm going to read Daniel chapter 3. But you're like, man, I've heard this chapter over and over again. And man, they're going to be like thrown into the fire. I've heard the story. I'm telling you, when we read this again, it's going to be powerful. It's going to be. But I know the story, Pastor Caleb. I know the story. Yeah, you do. But we're going to pick some things out. Get our minds shifted, being transformed by the Word of God and not by the world around us. And these right here we'll see is evidence of men being transformed by God affecting the world. Chapter 3, verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, the height of which was 60 cubits and its width 6 cubits. That's a big thing. He set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon, which is in modern-day Iraq. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent word to assemble the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers and the judges, the magistrates and all the rulers of the provinces to come and to the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, has set up. Then the satraps, the prefects and the governors, the counselors and the treasurers, the judges and the magistrates, and all the rulers of the provinces were assembled to the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image of Nebuchadnezzar had set up. That's a tongue twister. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "To you the command is given, O peoples, nations, and men of every language, that at the moment you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the lyre, the trigon, the psaltery, the bagpipe, and all kinds of music, you are to fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, has set up." Ooh, how many of that like strikes at your heart? Ooh, I hope nobody asked me to do that. "But whoever does not fall down in worship shall immediately be cast into the midst of the furnace of a blazing fire." Therefore, at that time, when all the peoples heard the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, trigon, psaltery, bagpipe, and all kinds of music, all the peoples, nations, and men of every language fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. "For this reason, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and brought charges against the Jews. They responded and said, 'Nebuchadnezzar, the king, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, and trigon, psaltery, and bagpipe, and all kinds of music, is to fall down and worship the golden image.'" They were told to do this, king. "But whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of the fire. There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the administration of the province of Babylon, namely Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have disregarded you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image which you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and anger, gave orders to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then these men were brought before the king. Nebuchadnezzar responded and said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Is that true? Now, if you are ready, at the moment you hear the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, and trigon, psaltery, bagpipe, and all kinds of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made, very well. But if you do not worship, you will immediately be cast into the midst of the furnace, a blazing fire. And what God is there who can deliver you out of my hands?" Ooh, not a sentence you want to say. "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of the blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king.'" Key verse. "But even if he does not," even if he doesn't deliver us, even if we have to be thrown into the fire, we know the consequences about what we're about to say. They're reiterating it to him. "We understand, we hear what you're saying to us, king. If we don't bow down to you and we don't worship the image that you have in your gods, we know that you are going to throw us into the fire. We know that will happen. But even if that's true and God doesn't deliver us from this, let it be known to you, O king. Hear this, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods. And we are not going to worship the golden image that you have set up." Whoo. Wow. When I read that a few weeks ago, it was even before I heard about us doing this mindset shift. These guys were set. Are you set? They knew whatever they faced, they would not turn their back on God, no matter what they faced. They didn't equivocate. They didn't cower. They didn't worry. They didn't go into the side and say, "What should we do? What should we do? What should we do?" They knew before they even faced the challenge before them that this is what they were going to do. They were going to stand for God no matter what. Sometimes in our lives, when we used to think a certain way, we would go along with the crowd. But now that our mind has been shifted because our minds are concentrated on God and He is changing us from the inside out, the things I used to do, I will not do anymore. My mind has been shifted. I have been transformed by His word and not by the world. And sometimes we may not be facing a king in the dire circumstances, but we are facing circumstances where they say something to us, but we have to say, be it known to you, I am not going to do that. Just like these guys said to the king, be it known to you, O king, no matter what you just said, no matter the consequences, we will not do that. That's when it hit me. In verse 11, people accuse them. There are Jews who are not bowing down to you or worshiping the image. In verse 18, three men stood. They didn't bow. The problem we see in this world today are people are bowing down to other gods. I mean, there are literally people bowing down to other gods. But there are things that we bow down to because our mind isn't shifted on certain things. Or it is being shifted, and yet it's like, oh, I'm not turning from that. I could be. What are you bowing down to? What are you bowing down to? What are you learning from God's word that's not right for you to do, or He doesn't like you doing it, that you're still doing? What are you bowing down to? How are you treating your wife? How are you treating your husband? Are you treating them in the way that God wants you to treat them? Has your mind been shifted in the attitude towards your spouse? It used to be when she got angry at me, I would turn back and get angry at her and yell just as loud, just as hard, and tell who was boss. But that's not the way of God. That's not the way Jesus would do it. That's not the way Jesus would have us do that. But as I read His word, as I spend time with Him, He is shifting my mind. So yeah, when she does yell at me or she does say something, and it used to be like, oh, I just can't wait to get back. Now I'm like, wait a minute. My mind is being shifted. My mind is being changed. I could yell back, but that's not the way God wants me to do it. And I want to please Him. So now I treat her with respect, even if I've been disrespected. What are you bowing down to? What are the thoughts or behaviors that let be controlling over you? Does anger still get you? Do ungood thoughts get you still? How do you see people that you disagree with? Especially this time in this season in our nation. That's a tough one. That's a tough one. I disagree with you so much. You're so wrong in what you think. But do you treat him with love and respect like Jesus would? What behaviors do you still let control you? Here's an important one too. Are there people in your life that you let walk all over you? Is there people in your life that you still let have control over you? Oh God, in all these areas, I'm falling hard after you, I'm falling hard after you. But at work, I just want to impress my boss so much. I just want to do a good job, and I'm going to try to do whatever he asks me to do. But yeah, he's asking you to cut corners in your work so he can save money. Or he's asking you to do this so we can save money on our taxes. He's asking you to do this, this, or the other thing. You're more scared of him than you are of me. Is there anybody in your life that you are letting walk all over you instead of taking a stand and saying, no, I will not bow down to your golden image or worship your God? I'm not to say we don't respect the people that we worked with. We're supposed to love and respect everybody and treat others more highly than ourselves. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying, you know, be disrespectful and let them do that. But sometimes people that we look up to do things and ask us to do things, and we bow down to what they are saying as opposed to way of living for God. Is there anybody that you let walk all over you? And sometimes it's even people that you really, really love. Dude, I just, I'm scared of my father. Whatever he asks me to do, I'll do it because I don't want him angry at me. Or my mom, I don't want to disappoint her. Whatever she'll ask, I just want to make sure I do it. Or my wife, anything, anyone that you be put between you and God. Is there anyone that you let walk all over you? The answer to that is to know who you serve and what God is capable of. Know whom the God you serve. You may be asking me to do all this. I may lose my job because I don't, but I know the God I serve. And I know the way he wants me to live. He has shifted my mind. I used to do those things, yes, but now my mind is shifted and I'm not walking in that way anymore. I'm going this way now. And sometimes it's even harder than this because it's your old friends that you used to hang around with, that you wanted to impress for a long time, and you finally got that place where you were impressing them and they thought you were cool. But then God found you and he took you out of that stuff. And when you see them again, they're like, let's go do this. Let's go party over here. Let's go do this. And you say, no, I can't do that anymore. I won't do that anymore. I don't want to do that anymore. When that starts to happen in your life, that's hard. I knew when it started happening in my life. Dude, Caleb, we're going to go do this. We're going to go see this, that, and the other thing and go around with them because they got all this going on. I can't. But dude, there's alcohol. There's drugs. It's going to be awesome. I'm not doing that anymore. Has your mind been shifted to turn from that? And the bravery to say no to it. In the home, in your life. When we learn the word of God and meditate on it, it changes what we think. But even more importantly, as it changes what we think, this is even more important than that. It changes what we believe. It changes what we believe, because when you believe something, you will act upon it. It's like you can say a lot of things and know a lot of things, but if you don't believe in it, you won't walk in it. But once you start to believe in something, your whole way of walking will change, because you're like, I believe what God says. I believe it. I believe it because he's transformed my mind. It is changing me. It is making me believe this, and I believe strongly in it. It changes what you believe about God, his word, and about yourself. Do we bow down to the way we view ourselves? Caleb, you're stupid. Caleb, you're an idiot. You're poor and you're nothing. Some of us have those negative voices in our mind because we were told that our entire lives. Until we started reading God's word, when he says, no, you're beautiful, you're smart, you're amazing. I made you. I make no mistakes. You are perfect the way you are. Hallelujah. And I love you, and I will never stop loving you. When you read his word and you spend time with him, those things become in your mind because you start to believe that more than the stuff around you and the stuff you walked out of. It changes what you believe about yourself. That's about us. That's about our homes. Because when that changes, when the way you feel about yourself changes, what you believe about yourself changes, it changes how you act around with the people in your home. That makes thriving homes. Because now I... Whoa, there it is. Now I treat my wife the way God would treat her. I treat my kids the way God would treat them. My mind is being changed. It transforms the home to a thriving home. From the thriving home to the transforming of the cities. When our minds are changed, we are able to stand before kings. We stop believing the lies about ourselves and others. We can be the people God has called us to be in what we believe he says about us. We can stand before kings. Wouldn't that be cool if one day we did stand before, like, I know we're going to stand with God. He's the king. Jesus is King Jesus. But imagine being able to stand before, like, godly king. You're like, or human kings, like kings in the world. Like I've said before, I love England. I've always kind of imagined like what it would be like if I ever got to meet like the King of England. That'd be kind of weird. Wouldn't that be awesome to stand before him? I don't know what I would say to him, but that'd be cool. We get to stand before kings. He gives us the faith to believe in that. And when we stand before kings, we get to transform the culture we live in. Just think of how important that is. God doesn't just call us to be transformed lives so we can transform our homes. He calls us to be transformed so we can transform the region that we live in. He transforms us so we can bring a kingdom culture to the area that we live in. You know how important that is? Do you ever think about that? I'm not just at this job just to make money. I'm at this job because God wants me to transform the culture of that place that I work in. He just doesn't have me living in Dryden just to live in Dryden because it's the cheapest place in the place I could get. He has me in this place so I can transform the people around me. And he has you where you at so you can transform the people around you. Transforming the cultures. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, if you could go there quickly. Wow, it's so quiet. I thought there'd be more page turning. You guys are quick. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. This is why it's so important to have a mind shift. It's not just for your sakes. It says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. He's asking us to be a living sacrifice. And how do we do so? By getting our minds transformed by his word, by encountering him, and not by the world. We are being changed because we are called to change or affect the world around us, to change the culture of our homes and the regions and the nations that to reflect the kingdom. It starts in ourselves, then our homes, but that is not where it ends. It is just the beginning. We are to live godly-minded lives so those around us can be changed. Are the people that you live with, the people that you contact with, are people that you are around being changed because you have been changed? God calls us to be a living sacrifice, to live for him in our everyday lives, no matter what we do or where we live. It doesn't matter what we are. I mow lawns most of the time. Some of us are auto mechanics. Some of us are nurses. No matter what's happening in our lives or where we live, We are to live lives that reflect him in the world around us. How he acts and how he thinks. In the book of Daniel, we see these men didn't get to choose where they lived or really what they did. Though that being said, they changed the ones around them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, that we are living lives, that we can change those around us because we've encountered you. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, that you have called us out to transform the culture that we live in. Thank you, God, that you've given us the places that we work at to be a place of change for those around us so we can change the culture, so we can stand before kings. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. God, you are so amazing. I want you guys to see another change. In Acts chapter 4, we're going to go there this morning. We're going to Acts chapter 4. In the Old Testament, we saw men who were changed by God. And now we're going to see, in Jesus, is there is. You go on to the story, we see that they didn't bow down to him. They threw him in the fire. They were in there, and they saw somebody else in the flames with him. That was Jesus. He was back there, and he encountered them. Now, I'm going to take you to a New Testament encounter with people who had been changed by Jesus right here. And it even says some of the same words, but the power of what it is to live a transformed life. See, at this point in Acts chapter 4, Peter and John had healed somebody, then they brought him in front of the Sanhedrin, and now they're standing up there, and now they're giving an account of what's happened, and these men have been changed in a powerful way. Because Peter, before all this, was, you know, like, he was strong-willed, but he would do things and mess up, and then he denied Jesus at the end, but now he's standing tough for Jesus because he's been transformed by him. I'm going to start in verse 6. And Ananias the high priest was there, and Caiaphas, and John and Alexander, and all who were of high priestly descent. And when they had placed them in the center, they began inquiring, by what power or in what name have you done this? Now, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are on trial today for the benefit done to a sick man as to how this man has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, and by this name this man stands here before you in good health. Let it be known to you. I just think this is powerful because of who Peter was. And sometimes we are like that too. We are so strong for God, but then things happen, then we stand back. He has a complete radical change in his life. Now he's be able to stand before the most powerful people in his nation. I want all of us to be transformed so much by God, to have our minds shifted so strongly for him, that we are able to stand before the most powerful people that we know and be able to stand strong and do what Peter did and what those guys did in the book of Daniel. And this only comes by spending time in his word, spending time with God, and falling more in love with him. And that's the biggest change you'll find. When you fall more in love with Jesus, he will change you and you won't even know it to begin with. But by falling in love with him, would you guys please rise? We are about to end. It was a little quicker today because we've been going long the last couple of weeks. And Hannah warned me. She says, if you guys go too long, you're in trouble. And I says, is that true? And she says, yeah, don't find out the hard way. And I said, I'm not going to do that, Hannah. I promise you, I'm going to stop early. I'm going to be stopping before 11:30. I'm going to take my time, though, to get it right to the end and have you guys stand up so you guys can be tired by the time you leave. Be it known to you, I am being transformed by his word and not by the world. We are to be transformed by his word and not by the world. May there be areas in your life that God highlights this week that he's saying, man, the world is transforming you here. You've got to let that go. You've got to let me transform you. God, I also pray that you let us let things go that are hindering us from allowing you to be the transformation that we need. Let it go. Be determined. Be determined to let it go. Be determined to stand for him. Be determined that when you face your kings, you can stand before them and not bow down to them. These men were determined beforehand. It was a decision made before they even faced the conflict. We can read in chapter 1 how Daniel himself determined that he would not eat the food of the king. He determined it in his mind before he even faced it. So we too have to determine in our own mind now before we face it in the future. God, if that happens to me, I will do this. I will not do that. I will stand for you. I will not bow down to that anymore. And some of us here have to say that physically. I'm not going to bow down to that anymore. Whether it be an addiction, whether it be whatever it is, I am not bowing down to that anymore. And God, when I face that person at work this week and he makes me angry, I'm determined right now that I'm going to handle it the way you do and handle it and say the things that you would say to them. I'm determined right now. It's got to be done when there's no pressure on you. It's got to be done when everything's okay. Determine then that that's what you're going to do. Father God, we just thank you for the message that you gave today. God, I just thank you that you allowed me to give it. And I ask right now, Father God, that you would bless everybody here with a growing knowledge of you and just a growing faith, and that they would get even stronger in their belief, that they would walk by faith, not by sight. They'd fall more in love with you. Oh, and you're so awesome, God. And God, I just ask right now that you would just release over us just a peace right now. And we are all asking for God encounters this week, Father God, that we can show the world how awesome you are. Just bless them this week, Father God, in all aspects of their lives. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Oh, I want to highly, highly encourage everybody here. There was a paper given when you came through the door. It's our Bible study for the week. The reason I highly recommend it, it's Daniel chapter 3. And what I want you guys to do is read it once a day for the next week. And you're like, why would I want to read it once again for the next week? I already know the story. Once I've read it, I read it. No, I promise you, once you read the story over and over and over again, God will show you things. He will highlight things that you had not seen before. Just like for me, be it known to you, I've read that spot millions of times. But when I read it again, it popped out to me. This is something that I learned when I was doing Moody Bible studies. Read over and over and over again. He will open the world up to you. And a story you thought you knew, I'm telling you, you don't know it as well as you think you do. So I highly encourage you this week, read chapter 3 of Daniel. Read it over and over, once a day for the next week, and he will highlight stuff to you. I promise you. So with that being said, have an awesome and blessed day. There's food out at the food shed at 12 o'clock. And just bless you all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.